And thank you to those of you who are making a difference in somebody else's history. And you're doing that. And at the carol service, we raised over £200 towards that appeal. And I know that folks are still contributing and making a difference. It'll make a difference to people around the world. So thank you for what you're doing. Let me read to you that simple story again from Luke chapter 2. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. This is set in the history of the real world. These are real people. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. It's quite a simple story in a way. An amazing story, but also a simple one. A simple account in Luke of Jesus' birth, and millions of people around the world have just celebrated it, and you have, and I have. And Jesus' life, in a very real way, is quite a simple life. If you look at his life and where he was born and how he lived, it was quite a simple life. He was born into a working class family. He spent the first 30 years of his life as a carpenter, swinging a hammer with his dad. In his workshop, he never travelled more than a few hundred miles from where he was born. He never wrote a book. He never ran for political office. He never made much money. And he was completely unknown for those first 30 years. There is very little written about him for the first 30 years, for most of his life. His ministry lasted 3 years. That's less than half the time that I've been here. And his ministry ended tragically, or some would say spectacularly, depending on your viewpoint. And that's the simple life of Jesus. But you and I know the legacy of Jesus is profound. And his influence on the world is immense. And the simple fact that you're here and you got up this morning and you thought, shall I go to church? And I'm glad you did, by the way. Shall I go to church? Is proof of his influence. Over 2,000 years later, here you are. In a country that most people in Jesus' home would never have even known of or heard of. In fact, probably a town that didn't exist back then. And yet we're talking about him. His birth literally divides history into BC and AD. Here's a man for whom more songs have been written and more art has been commissioned and more books have been penned than anyone else in the whole of human history. And today, about 2 billion people, 2 billion people on this planet will be gathering to remember him and to honor him and to celebrate him. Someone who has, quite literally, forever changed the world. And both those who like Jesus and those who don't like Jesus at least agree on one simple fact, that in all of human history, no one individual has made the difference that he has made. No one. Let me read you some quotes. Here's some great quotes. by people that you might know. As they celebrate this simple life. Here's H.G. Wells. Anybody watch the recent War of the Worlds? H.G. Wells wasn't a Christian, by the way. Wasn't a Christian. This is what he said about Jesus. I'm a historian, I'm not a believer. But I must confess, as a historian, that the penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very center of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure in all history. That's from someone who doesn't follow Jesus. Wow. That's influence, isn't it? Here's another one. This one you might not be familiar with unless you're into history, but this is a historian called Kenneth Scott Laudette. And this is what he says. As the centuries pass, the evidence is accumulating that, measured by his effect on history, Jesus is the most influential life ever lived on this planet. Wow. He's a historian. And there are other people. Even the French. Yes, seriously. Even the French have responded to who Jesus was. Alexander, this is Napoleon Bonaparte. Alexander, Caesar, he loved these great characters in history, did Bonaparte. He modeled some of his empire on some of them. And this is what he said. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and being a little bit up himself. I myself have founded empires. But upon what do these creations of our genius depend? He was a little bit up himself, wasn't he, Bonaparte? Our genius. Upon force, that's what they depended. Jesus alone founded his empire upon love. And to this very day, millions would die for him. Even Bonaparte, who thought quite a lot of himself, didn't compare himself to Jesus. He was out of his league. And here's another, here's a little, and Jesus has been named in all sorts of ways, but one of the things he's known as is a revolutionary. He was revolutionary for the world. Listen to this. This is Fidel Castro. I've always considered Christ to be one of the greatest revolutionaries in the history of humanity. The life of Jesus may have been, sounds very simple and very rural and very, certainly for 30 years, very uneventful. But the legacy of Jesus is the most significant and the most profound and most life-changing event in the history of the world. That's not an opinion. That's historical fact. He has changed the world. And those who like Jesus and those who don't agree on that one fact. He is significant and influential in the history of the world. Let me give you a few examples of how Jesus has benefited history and how his life benefits not just people who follow him, but actually Jesus' life has benefited the whole world, whether they believe in him or not. And we could talk about his impact on the way we view children today. In Jesus' day, infanticide and abandonment were pretty common. Children were not protected, not viewed in the same way. The average life expectancy of a child in Jesus' day was 8. 8. But it was Jesus who welcomed children and viewed them as important. And that's staggering, isn't it? Because if you think about it, Jesus was single. He was single, and yet for him, children mattered so much. He didn't even have an earthly father. He's single, and he doesn't have a human earthly father. And yet, he had an adopted father in a way. An adopted father called Joseph. Now what this did was it radically changed those people who followed Jesus. Because their view of children changed. In the early days of the church, we know for a fact that Christians began adopting children in serious numbers. Historically, the church started to recognize the needs of children, and contrary to the rest of culture, it started adopting children. Because Jesus taught God as Father, because Jesus taught that we are adopted into God's family, they took that literally. And Christians even today take it as part of their ministry, part of their calling to adopt and to care for kids who are abandoned or mistreated. And whenever Christianity has spread, the care and adoption of children has become a feature. It makes a difference to kids, whether they grow up in a Christian home or not. And Jesus' influence doesn't just end there. It extends not only to children, but it also extended to women and how women are treated in society. And yeah, there's a lot of work to do on all of these fronts. And yes, there's still things that go wrong and there's still abuse. But it's not the heart of who Jesus is. His influence is one of good. In those days, in Jesus' days, women were essentially property. They were technically and legally property and nothing more. They could be mistreated, they could be abused, and they had no legal recourse whatsoever. But some of Jesus' dearest friends and disciples were women. This is a rabbi. This is not what a rabbi did, but Jesus did. Other rabbis, it was entirely male. Authority was given entirely to other men. And yet Jesus didn't operate like that. He created a scandal, in fact, in his day. And Jesus' reputation among some people took a hit because of the way that he treated women. He also taught women something religious leaders and teachers never did. They did not do it in Jesus' culture. Yet Jesus did it. And Jesus elevated the status and the dignity of women in his day. And we see that wherever true Christianity, wherever Christ-focused Christianity has grown, so has the status and the dignity of women on our planet. And Jesus also, his influence extends to things like education. He's made a change in that. In Jesus' day, education was considered necessary for only the rich, for only those who were destined for high office. Everybody else, especially the poor, education was not necessary or viewed as necessary. But because of Jesus and the fact that his message is contained in this book, that has changed everything. That has changed everything. Countless Christians began to realize the importance that if anybody's going to find Jesus, they're going to have to read this book. So what did they do? They set up school after school after school. They educated and educated. And the fact that literacy in the UK and in so many countries where Christianity took a hold and became the dominant culture, the fact that people can read is because of the faith, the Christian faith. Because we knew the only way people can find Jesus is through his word and how powerful that was for people. So they taught people to read, the poor as well as the rich. It was Christians that were teaching people to read and campaigning for literacy because they wanted people to be able to read the Bible for themselves. And then extends to higher education too. If you look at the historic universities, they were set up by Christians for Christian purposes. They may not have that foundation now, but they had it to start with. And that's why they existed. Oxford and Cambridge were two of those. And we've all benefited, those whose education enables them to argue against Jesus, even those people. If you are an atheist and you want to argue against Christianity, Here's the irony. You have benefited by the ability to do that because of Christians. Because of the Christian faith has educated you and put a foundation in our country to enable you to argue against Christ. Isn't that ironic? But that's the truth. The legacy of Jesus even extends to the establishment of nations. Nations have been established on very different footings to the one to the nations that existed before Jesus arrived. The legacy of Jesus extends to even how nations are established. A world superpower that you know as the United States of America was founded by those who wanted a land where they could worship Jesus and experience religious freedom. It was founded by that. They still celebrate it every year. They still celebrate the landing of those pilgrims every year. And it was founded on many of the principles of faith and of Jesus. In our own land and in many others, the rule of law is a direct legacy of Jesus. The rule of law. Jesus, in his world, the right of might ruled. If you were powerful, you could do what you want. If you were a king, you could do what you want. You were not subject to law. The law did not apply to you because you had power. It was not ruled by law, it was ruled by might. But Jesus was a teacher of law. Much of the Old Testament is about law and obedience to it. And it was about equality, that even the king should be answerable to the law of God. And through Jesus and the way he promoted that, the rule of law, not the rule of might, established nations. It established our nation. Jesus taught we're made by God with dignity and value and worth. And wherever there's biblical thinking, good law has followed. That extends to property rights too, believe it or not. Your property rights are because of Jesus. Do you ever think of that? Jesus taught that you have the right to property. You notice that you have the responsibility to do things with what you have. He taught that you have stuff, parable of the talents, you have stuff, and you have a responsibility to act sensibly and reasonably and in the good of others with what you have. Even the rule of property and property rights come down to some of the things that Jesus taught. Jesus taught private ownership and responsibility regarding our possessions. The ability to own and produce wealth, the very basis of our economic system, comes from Jesus. Comes from him. Here's another one. Jesus' legacy extends to the poor, the sick, the elderly, the dying, those in need. And in Jesus' day, hospitals and doctors were again for the rich. Literacy was for the rich. Medical help was for the rich. And Jesus became known by title, didn't he? The great physician. The great physician. Because the way he spent so much time caring and dealing with those who were poor and had no other recourse, and he would help them and heal them. So Christians adopted the heart of that. Did you know that the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, this great gathering of all the leaders of the church around the world in 325 AD, a decree was made. Everywhere a church is started, a hospital will be started. That was their decree in the spirit and the heart of Jesus. And they said it must be open to the poor, not just the wealthy, not just the privileged. Everywhere a church is founded, a hospital is to be founded with it. That was their decree, and it is open to all. During times of great sickness, during times of plague, it was Christians who signed up to be doctors and nurses. You know why? Here's why. Because they said to themselves, even if I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. I can't lose. Everybody else, oh, hang on, let's keep our distance. But Christians had this confidence that even if they died, they would be with Christ. So they couldn't lose. And they served those in the most dangerous, the most infected places, motivated by their belief in Christ. Here's another one. We could go on, couldn't we? We could go on all day, how much Jesus has influenced this world. It extends to the arts as well. Art owes so much to the influence of Jesus. His impact on the art world is amazing. Architecture, if you take the great cathedrals, not only their structure and their style, but actually their technology that put them up in the first place, which was revolutionary at the time and affected other buildings. But it was those cathedrals that actually showed people how to build and how to build amazing, you know, how to balance tons and tons of rock above people's heads. And how to do it safely. And all to the glory of God. It was done to the glory of Jesus. And the Renaissance, Da Vinci, Raphael, Michelangelo, were inspired by the person and the work of Jesus Christ. It extends to literature. It inspired Dante and Chaucer and Dostoevsky and Bunyan and Milton and Dickens and Tolstoy and T.S. Eliot. And C.S. Lewis and Tolkien. It inspired them all. Jesus has captured the imagination of some of the most creative people on the planet and produced some of the most wonderful art on the planet. It's because of Jesus. He's even influenced music like Bach and Vivaldi. And it's because of Jesus. It's his influence on them. What's the point? Jesus Christ lived a very simple life, but his legacy is immense. It is immense. There is probably no aspect of history that has not been positively influenced by the way and life of Jesus Christ. No part of our world hasn't been touched by his coming. Now, Christians have done and have taught things that Jesus himself never sanctioned and never said and would never approve of. Unfortunately, humans have a habit of doing that, don't they? They twist some things and they manipulate some things. And that's why in the Ten Commandments, there's that wonderful phrase that God uses, "Do not use my name in vain." In other words, don't attribute to me stuff I have nothing to do with. But humans have done that throughout history. So there are things that Christians have done that have nothing to do with Jesus and nothing to do with his way of thinking, with his way of teaching, or with his life. Those are called sins. Those are called sins. And Christians have done some of those. That's true. But as Christians, we celebrate that no one else born into this history of this world has made such a positive difference when followed for what he actually stood for. For rich, for poor, for black, for white, for young, for old, nobody has made such a positive difference as Jesus. And we gather today, we do so with billions of others who remember him and who celebrate his life. And the question I want to ask as I close today, the question I want to ask you is this. Not what difference has Jesus Christ made in history, because it goes without saying that he has been one of the most influential people on the planet. There's no doubt about that historically. That's not the question. The real question is this. What difference has Jesus made in your personal history? That's the question, isn't it? How is your history different because of Jesus. Because if he's changed the world, then he wants to change my world too. If I let his influence into my life. I met Jesus when I was 14. I knew a little bit about him, but not very much, because our family never went to church on a Sunday. And the day my mum said, "We're off to church," I was somewhat shocked. I said, "We're doing what?" I was 14 at the time. "We're going to church this morning." And we went to the local Anglican church, which I don't think my mum had ever stepped in either. And we went to church. I remember my first encounter with church was feeling nauseous because of all the getting up and sitting down. And I threw up in the graveyard. That was my first encounter of church. Not a great one, I have to confess. But I was 14. And over the years, over the time after that, I gradually got to know who this Jesus was. And his influence on me grew and grew and grew. He wasn't just a great man or a great teacher or a great historical figure. He was more than that to me. And at 14, I didn't know that the difference he would make in my personal history. I was visiting over Christmas my mum and stepdad, and my stepdad worked for Barclays, and it was through my stepdad that I got a job at Barclays for 7 years when I was 18. From 18 to about 25, I worked for Barclays International. And it was interesting, he said a little phrase to me when I visited him on Friday, and he said, "You would have done really well in the bank, Phil." Oh, well. But the influence of Jesus on my life is that I didn't stay there. Jesus has affected my history. I would still be in the bank today if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. And that's not a good or a bad thing. It's just saying that he's affected my history and my choices and my decisions. He's influenced me. He's influenced me as a husband and as a father and as a friend. His words in the Bible are a constant encouragement to me and a constant challenge to me to be all that he wants me to be. He sort of makes me accountable to him. He influences whether I think I've made it, and I don't think I've made it yet. I don't think I'm all that he wants me to be yet. And that challenges me to strive and to work with him to be the believer that he wants me to be. I'm privileged today to be able to preach every week on his words, because he's changed my history. He's changed my history. But that's me. What about you? What difference has he made in your history? What is different? And you could say is different because you've met Jesus. Has he changed human history? Yes. But do you believe he's changed your history? Do you think that he can have a positive influence on the stuff that you're dealing with today? And if he can change history, why can't he change yours? It's a challenge to go into the next year, isn't it? What difference will Jesus make in your history for the next 12 months? Because if he can change the world, he can certainly change you. He can change the decisions you make, the choices you make, the way you live. What difference does it make that Jesus has come to this world? What difference, more importantly, does it make to you? We're going to sing a song that sort of expresses how meeting Jesus changes some very important things. It changes what we think matters and what doesn't. It changes our decisions. It changes how we use our time and our resources. It changes everything about us if we let it. So let's stand, shall we? And let's reflect on what